Genesis chapter 34. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bore unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Several years actually passed between chapters 33 and 34. Dinah, Jacob's only daughter, is probably in her mid-teens, and she wants some female companionship, and since she isn't going to get it at home with her 11 brothers, she heads to town looking for it. Verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. In that culture, in those days, a girl who was violated like this would probably never have a happy, normal relationship with a man. And so her life really takes a hit at age 15. 3, and his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the damsel and spoke kindly unto the damsel. It's nice that he spoke kindly to her, but it really doesn't matter, does it? Kind words won't get it done. Kind words really don't change anything. Verse 4, and Shechem spoke unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. Shechem appears to feel no guilt or sorrow for what he did. He seems to be just thinking of himself. 5, and Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. Jacob held his peace. In other words, he kept his composure. Verse 6, and Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And so the father of the criminal speaks to the father of the victim. 7, and the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were grieved, and they were very angry, because he, that is Shechem, had wrought folly in Israel in line with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. It's refreshing to hear someone use plain language. This thing ought not to be done. Concerning Shechem's treatment of their sister, the brothers say, this thing should not be done. It is wrong. Too many people opposed or afraid of just saying that something is wrong. Afraid of, they might get accused of making value judgments. Well, yes, make value judgment based on the word of God, always. Verse 8, and Hamor communed with them, saying, the soul of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. I pray you give him to wife. You know, so all we've heard about so far is what Shechem wants, or what Shechem longs for. And I guess that his father is determined to get Shechem what he wants. The thing that amazes me is what's absent. No apology. Just Shechem wants. You know, somehow I get the feeling that Jacob and sons really don't care what Shechem wants. Verse 9. And you make marriages with us and give your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you, and you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you, dwell and trade you therein, and get you possessions therein. No apology, no mention of regret. Neither Shechem or his father has admitted any wrongdoing. They seem to be ignoring the sin. and trying to put a positive spin on it. It's as if they're saying, let's make the best of this. Let's intermarry and all grow wealthy together. Verse 11. And Shechem said unto her father and unto her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what you shall say unto me, I will give. Four words which should never be spoken by Shechem to Dinah's father and brothers are, let me find favor. Maybe after admittance of guilt and a sincere apology, one could ask for favor in the form of forgiveness. But this seems to be very much out of place. Expecting a favor instead of asking for forgiveness after doing something wrong reveals a contempt for common decency. Verse 12. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me. But give me the damsel to wife. In effect, he's offering a cash settlement. Again, without even an apology. Verse 13. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully, and say, because he has defiled Dinah, their sister. And for some unknown reason, Jacob is out of the picture. I don't know where he is here, but the sons are dealing with Shechem and his father. Not a good thing, because Jacob's sons, his oldest son's son, is probably only about 20. He doesn't have this spiritual sense of wisdom and maturity to handle a situation like this. 14. And they, the brothers of Dinah, said unto them, Shechem and those with him, we cannot do this thing, to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised. For that were a reproach unto us. 14, a reproach, because the uncircumcised was a term describing a pagan or an unbeliever, which God forbids his people to marry. 15, but in this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we be, that every male of you be circumcised. Circumcision was to be the outward sign of a person's devotion to the one true God. By itself, it was absolutely nothing. Being circumcised would not make these Canaanites right with God. But you know what? The boys really don't care about that anyway. They should care about that. They should want these bad people to get right with God. But vengeance is on their mind, not evangelization. Verse 16. Then we will give our daughters unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. But if you will not hearken unto us to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter, and we will be gone. In other words, take it or leave it. And they're hoping that they will take it, because this is a trap. 18. And their words pleased Hamor, and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young man deferred not to do the thing. He didn't want to put it off, because he had delight in Jacob's daughter. And he was more honorable than all the house of his father. And considering what he did, that's pretty sad commentary on the rest of the household. Shechem was the moral bright spot in his father's household. Verse 20. And Hamor and Shechem his son came unto the gate of their city and communed with the men of their city, saying, let's just stop there for a second. The city gate was the city hall of that time, so that's where they gather together here. 21. These men are peaceable with us, therefore let them dwell in the land and trade therein. For the land, behold, it is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Shechem was a poor judge of character when he said, Jacob and his family are peace-loving, and harmless, because that's not what they had in mind. Verse 22. Only herein will the men, Jacob's clan, consent unto us for to dwell with us and be one people, if every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. So Shechem says there's just one condition. We don't have to repent to intermarry with them. We don't have to commit to the God of Israel. All we have to do is be circumcised. And really, that's not a bad deal when you consider the opportunity to become wealthy. 23. And that's what he's thinking about. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast of theirs be ours? Only let us consent unto them, and they will dwell with us. It's a good business deal, Shechem says. You know, there's really no downside to this thing. 24. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all who went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. They bought it. This is great. Let's make a deal. And you know what? From what I have read, that is a very rough operation for a grown man. And day three was the worst for some reason. Men do not move on day three, let alone walk, run, or fight. And of course, the Hebrew brothers knew all this. So look at verse 25. And it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and killed all the men. The crime was not punished by due process of the law, and that led to vigilantism. Shechem was not punished by his own people, and that led to this slaughter. And I'm not saying it's right, because it isn't. There was no way that they should have killed all the men of that city. But they did. And there's wrong on both sides. Justice should have been meted out to Shechem for what he did. It wasn't. And that enraged Jacob and his sons, especially his sons, especially Simeon and Levi. And that was wrong too, because they really went beyond what was correct. I mean, if they want to go after Shechem and try him or something like that, if that's possible, I don't know. But to kill all the men in the city, well, you know, maybe they felt justified since no one spoke against Shechem. And so maybe they just thought that they were guilty by association. Guilty because they didn't renounce it. They never said it was bad. 26. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. Hamor overlooked his son's sin like the rest of the people in that city. He did not punish him or even rebuke him. He should have done something. And his doing nothing gave tacit approval to what his son did. So he was killed as well. 27. The sons of Jacob came upon the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. Simeon and Levi did the actual killing. And then afterwards, all the brothers looted the place. 28. They took their sheep and their oxen and their asses and that which was in the city and that which was in the field and all their wealth and all their little ones and their wives took they captive and spoiled even all that was in the house. At least they spared the women and the children. Little consolation, I suppose, since all their fathers and husbands have been slaughtered. 30. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, They shall gather themselves together against me and kill me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. Everything Jacob said here is correct. But as the spiritual leader in the home, he left out an important point. His sons are guilty of mass murder, and he doesn't even mention that. He's more concerned about the consequences of his sin than the sin itself. I should say the consequences of their sin. He's more concerned about that than the sin itself. Verse 31. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with an harlot? In other words, are we to sit back and do nothing? Are we to ignore what was done to our sister? And the answer is no. But at the same time, there's a big gap between doing nothing and committing wholesale slaughter on an entire city. You know, from studying the scripture, I have learned that most of the time God's will is found somewhere between the extremes. If they had prayed and waited on the Lord, God would have either taken care of Shechem himself, as he did elsewhere in scripture, or he would have led Jacob and sons in the correct thing to do.